stress, fear, depression, spiritual warfare. Are you weighted down? Do you need refreshing? Welcome, welcome everyone to the Warriors for Christ podcast, where we seek to uplift, edify, and encourage you to be light and salt in a dark and tasteless world with your host, Kyle.
Hello, hello everyone. Welcome again to another exciting episode of Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Sam.
And we are here in the Word of God. Sam, where has the Lord led you to take us today?
Well, Kyle, we're going to keep continuing through Hebrews. We are on Hebrews chapter 12 now.
Well, with that, I think I'll open this episode in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your blessings. We thank you, Lord God, for your trials. We thank you for the tests that you put us through each day. We love you and we thank you for that. We thank you for your Spirit that guides us in all truth. We thank you for this holy word, the scriptures. We thank you for its power, its ability to cut and to divide and prove things out, Lord. We're so thankful for that. We thank you for this time together. We ask, O Lord, that you bless those that listen, create for yourself a people, and we pray and ask that you use this show to do that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. And as you mentioned, the trials, it's not just the trials. I mean, we thank God for the trials, but more importantly, what we thank God for, as he says in James chapter 1, count it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials or temptations, knowing that the proof of your faith is producing endurance, and endurance must be having its perfect result so that you will be perfect and complete, lacking nothing.
Amen.
And so the rejoicing is when we encounter trials and tribulations and temptations, is the fact that we're overcoming. Because a person cannot overcome if you don't have the power of God in you. That's the proof of your faith.
That's right. People go and work out their bodies. Why not work out their faith by overcoming, enduring?
Well, and he says in Timothy, bodily discipline is of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things because it holds promise in both the present life and the life to come.
Amen.
That's in 1 Timothy. I believe chapter 2 or no, it might be chapter 4. But we're in Hebrews chapter 13 or 12. Hebrews chapter 12. So let us get into this. Can you read verse 1?
Yes. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Okay. Now, that passage I want to talk about, that verse. There's a couple verses that many people, they go to seminary school and they know certain passages and they continue to sound them like a recording trumpet over and over and over, and they take the word of God in falsehood. So they say, see, the sin which, what is it, what did you say? The besetting, say that again.
Which doth so easily beset us.
The sin
which... Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. See, this is, it's a continually laying it aside.
Yeah, so, and people say, no, but you see, we always have a besetting sin. You see, we always have a besetting sin. I was like, what are you talking about? It says those things are all to be laid aside.
That's right. Continually.
We're to run with endurance. We're no longer to be the person. You see, the whole book of Hebrews is about a people and a warning to speaking to those who are dull of hearing, those who are in danger of throwing away their reward.
Not inheriting the land.
And again, this is another one of those examples. It's like in James chapter 3, verse 2. They know the first part, the A part. They don't know the B part of the verse. They say, well, you know, it says right here, he says, you know, we all stumble in many ways. Right there, see? That's proof. We're going to continue to stumble in many ways. I said, can you please stop blaspheming the word of God? Why don't you read the second part of the verse? But the one who bridles his tongue is a perfect man, is able to bridle the entire body as well. And then it goes on and talks about the one man had the wisdom of the world that's demonic, and the other man was the one who had the wisdom from above of God that is pure. So it's amazing to me how people latch on to these half verses that are speaking of the man condemned or in trouble that's going backwards or hasn't found truth, and they want to use that as justification to support their continued slavery to sin.
Yeah, and we talk a lot about that in Romans 7 episode.
We do. Yeah, the Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7. If you haven't listened to that, you need to listen to that and find out what it means to be born of the Spirit of God. So for here, those things were to be laid aside. Every single thing was to be laid aside. Not some, all.
Yeah, every weight and the sin.
And it acknowledges, sin surrounds. It's there to ensnare and entangle. Well, for those who have not been born again, that's what it does. They're a slave to it, but not those who have been set free. No, you see, we are to run with endurance the race set before us, just as Paul talked. I run the race so that I myself might not be disqualified, so that I endure to the end. That was discussed at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And then right after that, it goes into chapter 10 and talks about the same example that we just read in the book of Hebrews about don't follow the same example of their idolatrous and disobedient, rebellious ways in which God swore they would not enter his wrath. And then right after that, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, take heed lest you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you bear, so that when you are tempted, you will be able to stand up and overcome it.
Are you doing that?
So we talked about the proof of faith in the very beginning. James chapter 1, you mentioned that, and I got provoked in the spirit that I need to speak James chapter 1, verse 3.
Amen.
And
do
4,
it.
The promises. We already did that about the proof of faith. This is the truth. If you take any fraction of a book or story, you can twist it into whatever lie you want to and distort the true words. So how do we run the race set before us? How do we do that? In verse 2.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
So Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, right hand of God. And Jesus ran the race. He endured. And yet we're to fix our eyes on him, and we're to follow in the same race. We're to follow in the same path. And we're going to talk about that here as we continue to look at chapter 12. Jesus endured a great hostility by sinners in verse 3. A great. So because Jesus was able to do it, what does it say about us in verse 3?
For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds.
So we are not to grow weary.
That's right. And not to be faint in our minds.
So Jesus endured such hostility so that we will not grow weary, so that we will not lose heart. And people say, no, that was his example. That's not my example. No, it's our example. Not only did Jesus give his life and shed blood against such ungodly world against him. And Jesus says, the world's going to persecute you. We have promise. What's the warning in verse 4 and 5?
Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him.
So here, there's a problem. Again, as we look at Hebrews, these people, as he said in the very beginning, we went back in chapter 3, you're of the house of Christ if you continue, if you hold fast. The very beginning of Hebrews, when we started, even before that, why those things were spoken, back in chapter 2, for this reason, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. And so these are all the warnings that we don't fall, that we endure, that we continue. If you haven't listened to the remaining earlier parts and you're just jumping in on this episode because it was the recent one, you have to go back and listen to each of all the chapters that we did in Hebrews, so you have the full context and you'll know what I'm talking about. He's continuing to speak to a people who become dull of hearing, a people who are in danger, a warning against them. It's like, what are you doing? You haven't even shed blood. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten the exhortation to you? Have you forgotten? Verse 6.
For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth.
That's right. You see, God disciplines. Now, some people say, oh, well, he disciplines, so therefore, that means we're always going to continue to sin, because if we aren't continuing to sin, well, then he no longer disciplines. No, you're misunderstanding. He's going back to God starts with the discipline of a son. He disciplines a son to bring him into obedience. Once you're brought into obedience, you produce a different fruit. You see, when God pulls you out of darkness, you're going to see, people say, oh, but I see the work of God around me. Well, the Spirit of God only does impossible works, and the Spirit of God works. It's the only thing that can draw people out of darkness. Don't be so naive and prideful and think that you've already been born again because you see the God working around you, instead of maybe God's still trying to draw me out of darkness into light. And that's what you're seeing, but you aren't in light yet. Maybe you're the infant in Christ that's still a slave of sin, and you need to get to the rest of the truth so you can become born again. And we talked about that. Are you an infant? We'll go listen to the episode we did on Galatians. We talked about that. What those who are infants in Christ, they don't have the Spirit of God. They haven't been born again. So as we continue here to look at discipline, it is for, in verse 7, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Now he's going to talk about discipline in illegitimate sons, and then those who once they've been disciplined by God, what does it result in? Now, speaking of this, just before I continue, back in chapter 5 of Hebrews, again, it talked about Christ. And Christ, it said in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, and although Jesus was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. He learned obedience through the things which he suffered. You see, Jesus was able to overcome all the temptations and trials because he had a proof of faith. Jesus had the Spirit of God in him. Jesus was a son of God. He was born of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, it says in verse 9, and having been made perfect, he now became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation.
Yeah, I don't think it's too light to say that for someone who claims to have the Holy Spirit in them and isn't able to resist and are still slaves of sin, then they actually blaspheme the Holy Spirit.
Well, they do. Well, the problem is they don't have the Spirit of God. And this is different from somebody who has received. The Bible talks about, like in Galatians and in certain places, people who receive the Spirit. Those people says you're in danger of falling away because you're now going back. Well, those people can overcome. They have the power of Spirit. It's just like you're letting lies creep in and you're letting those lies bring you into bondage again. He says, you can't do that. Now, you have the power of God. Just turn from it. Now, somebody who doesn't have the power of God, they're going to want to stop sinning, but they can't. They can't because they have no power. So you have to understand where you're at and what message applies to you. Are you the one that needs to receive the Spirit of God? Or are you the one that's already received? Well, if you've already received the Spirit of God, you know what I'm talking about here. You aren't arguing against this message. You know that the Spirit of God sets you free because you used to be set free. If now something you have let something come back into your life because you stopped following God. Versus somebody who thinks they've been following God their whole life, but they've never been set free and they continue to struggle with sin. You never had God. So it's important we understand all the words of God, because if your faith is not in the true words of God, the devil's going to bounce you around on the waves, the seas, and the wind, and you're going to be like the one who doesn't have any knowledge of God and cannot be set free, and you're still a slave of sin because you have no power. It's like what Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, stop being deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Awake to righteousness and stop sinning. For some of you have no knowledge of God. None. I speak this to your shame. There's so many people who have no knowledge of God. They say, oh no, I know the Bible. Oh, you know it just as much as Israel did? Not the true Israel, but the false Israel that went against the true servants of God, who read the Bible, taught the Bible, memorized the Bible, thought that there are people that walked righteously. Yeah. Yeah, God said they had no knowledge of God. You see, that's what people don't understand. They evaluate themselves based upon their wisdom and knowledge, not how God sees them. And they take offense with a man of God, proclaims the true words of God, and says, this is how God sees you. And they get offended. You aren't offended by me. You're offended by my God. That's who you're offended by. The one who you think you serve, you're offended by him. Because you aren't accepting his words, because you won't humble yourself. And you won't hold to all the words of God, but you're grasping to false words and distorting his pure truth. So as we continue to look at what happens to a son when he learns discipline. Well, if someone, one, coming through Christ, there is a discipline. God's going to discipline, and he's going to show you the sin that's in you. Well, people who don't do that and they think they can come to God and never have it removed, well, you're illegitimate. God removes the sin from you so then you can produce the fruit of righteousness. You see, when we learn the discipline of God, he says in verse 9, shall we, if we had earthly fathers to discipline us and we respected them, shall we not much more rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? We must be subject to his discipline and his way. He wants to give us a new heart. Earthly fathers, in verse 10, what did they do?
They chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness.
That's right. God wants to bring us into the new creation, the new man, being born again. When we subject ourselves to his ways, we share in his holiness. Now, all discipline for the moment does not seem to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, what does it yield?
It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby.
That's right, the fruit of righteousness.
Fruit of righteousness.
Now, people, when a lot of times God will bring certain things on people. He'll bring sickness, disease, bad things, for the point of showing them, you need to turn to me. You need to see that none of these things can offer you hope or security. You need to turn to me. Go read all the examples of Israel. How God would use a rod of discipline. The problem, they wouldn't turn. And we're gonna go to one of the disciplines in Isaiah, disciplining of a son, because it's a good example.
Yeah, it's an excellent one.
And there's another one, I think it's in Deuteronomy chapter 8. We might turn to that too if we have time.
Let me just repeat that one part there again, because the word peaceable just is so, it's so awesome to connect there. The peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby.
Right.
You can only have peace when you've been disciplined and you take in that correction and move into the agreement with God.
And it's the fruit of righteousness. Jesus said with a tree, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. A tree is known by the fruit. And he went on to equate the tree is equated to the good heart or the bad heart. It's only one kind of fruit. Remember, those who are a bad tree, a bad heart, in the eyes of man, they still do good, but not in the eyes of God. They're defiled and corrupted. Everything they do has been defiled. God rejects everything of them. So here's what happens. This is what God does and what he wants. In verse 12, he wants to strengthen what?
The hands which hang down and the feeble knees.
That's right. The weak hands and the weak knees. He wants to strengthen them. What about the paths? What type paths does God want to do for us? In verse 13.
He wants to make our path straight. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed.
That's right. He wants to heal us, and he wants to make our path straight. Only God can make our path straight. Now, we know from earlier that the root and the cause is the heart. When we get a new heart, then we can walk in the ways of God. Until you get a good heart, guess what? Your ways are still going to be crooked. Your ways are going to be crooked. You aren't going to walk in the straight and narrow way. In verse 14, what are we to pursue?
Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord.
You don't have holiness? You aren't going to see the Lord. It's not some external cloak. It's the gift of the Spirit of righteousness that God puts inside of you. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. He puts His Holy Spirit in you, so you can now walk and abide in light and holiness. You don't have that? No, anybody who does not have that? None of those people will see the Lord. Amen. None of them. A warning. What's the warning in verse 15?
Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
Now see, everyone's defiled when they're born into the world. But God gives us a new heart. He cleanses us. But again, we're commanded to endure to the end. If you let bitterness or something else spring back up, and when I say let, it's impossible for it to come up if you're abiding and being led by the Spirit of God. It can only come up when you turn your eyes off and start pursuing something of the world or fear of man. You get afraid, you have fear, you turn, you allow the opportunity for sin and disobedience to God to creep in. And God, if that happens, He'll discipline you to get you right back to get that out. You see, if you're under a discipline, it's because you aren't right with God.
Amen.
When you respond to the discipline of God, you get right with Him. The first thing is getting a new heart. Once you have a new heart, if you stray from that new heart, you're going to bring the discipline of God on your life immediately and swiftly. When you get right back and you respond to it, you're right back on the narrow path and you remain on the narrow path. That's what the discipline of God does. But the first part is you have to get the new heart. Then once you have the new heart, God is faithful and His desire is to keep you on that. You're the only one that can turn and walk away. And when He comes to you after you have a new heart to discipline you and you reject that discipline, then you get broken off. You cannot have any things of the world. You cannot have any of those traits of the flesh. Go read Galatians chapter 5, verse 20 to the end, and you'll see what I'm talking about. The fruit of the Spirit versus the fruit of the flesh. They're opposites. You're one or the other. Don't be like the immoral or the godless person of Esau. Esau sold his birthright for a single meal. But when Esau desired to inherit the blessing, he desired it. Was he able to receive it in verse 17?
No, he was not. There was no place of repentance able to be found, though he sought it carefully with tears.
There was no longer a place of repentance. You see, the same example of Esau is given to us. If God is calling, when it says earlier, today is a day of salvation, don't wait. Don't delay. Humbly submit yourself and just put your hope in all the true words of God and His apostle work. Let go of the world. Let go of any bitterness or anger that you have. You see, when we come to Christ, or when we come to the Father as a son or daughter of God, you forfeit your rights. You don't have a right to hold anything against anybody anymore. You have to let that go. You have to freely forgive if you're to freely receive the forgiveness of God through the Son, Jesus Christ.
I like to think of that root of bitterness as like, I don't know if there's any gardeners out there listening, but oftentimes some plants propagate by the planting of a root. And when you allow the root of bitterness to be planted in your heart, it will yield a plant that is wicked. It will yield poor fruit from you.
Well, and when you look at that, in James chapter 3, verse 13 to 18, when it talks about it, it says, who among you is wise and understanding? He's asking, who among you is wise? Who's wise? This is after he just talked about those who stumble versus the perfect man who bridles the tongue and the entire body. And then he says, you think you serve God? You think your tongue can bless God and also curse men? He says, no, you're deceived. It cannot be that way. You cannot produce fresh water and bitter water. A fig tree produces figs. A vine produces olives. A tree is known by its fruit. Stop being deceived. He says in verse 13, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show. You think you're wise? You think you're the wisdom of God? Then show by your good behavior and your deeds and the gentleness of wisdom. That is what's to speak. But if you have bitter jealousy, if you have selfish ambition in your heart, do not lie. Do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth.
Look at all those things that sprung from bitterness.
That's right. He says, verse 15, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above. This is not the wisdom of God. The wisdom that you have is earthly. Natural. It's demonic. You have the demonic wisdom. You do not have the wisdom of God. If you have jealousy, selfish ambition, then you have disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure. peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering. It does not have any hypocrisy. The seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This is what God says in James chapter 3. So back to Hebrews. Now again, we have a stern warning. Once we've come to the discipline, we've been disciplined by the Lord, our feet and our paths have been made straight. We now produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Well, there's a caution. Because we haven't come to a mountain that can be touched, to a blazing fire, to a darkness and gloom and whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet, the sound of words, the sound such that those who heard and begged that no further word would be spoken to them. This was Israel on the mountain when they said, we can't hear the word of God anymore, we're going to die. So God can't speak to us anymore. So Moses says, and God says, you spoke well. And so that's why he sent his son. As Moses says, God will raise up for you a prophet just like me from among your brethren, because he said, we can't hear the voice of God anymore. So God says, okay, I'm going to send you Christ. I'm going to send you, as Moses said, prophesied, repeated in Deuteronomy, I think it was chapter 16 or around there, and then it was repeated again in Acts when Peter spoke the gospel. He repeated it twice, that Christ is the prophet just like Moses that God raised up, because they didn't want to hear the voice of God anymore. So he's like, okay, you'll hear it through my prophets. And Christ came, and he says, if you don't listen to him, then you'll be destroyed. And that was a prophecy that Moses spoke in Deuteronomy, and it's repeated in Acts multiple times in chapters, I think, two of those chapters in the beginning of Acts. So here he says in verse 21, and so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. But it says, we have come to what in verse 22?
But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel.
So he's like, listen, right? This gets back to the eternal promise. This is beyond, you know, the earthly. This is the eternal promise.
Yeah, this is coming right to the courts of heaven, if you will.
That's right. And we come to that through the mediator of a better covenant.
Amen.
So this gets back to, if you didn't listen earlier, and this goes all the way back to the beginning, at the very beginning of Hebrews, when it talked about, and this is kind of doing a wrap up here at the end of the book. Remember in the beginning, the first one that we did in Hebrews chapter 1 and 2, where it talked about establishing that Christ was greater than the angels. And in chapter 2, it says, be careful that you don't fall away from the word that you've heard, because if the word spoken through angels, the people were destroyed, then what do you think is going to happen now when God has spoken his word through his only beloved son who died for you? If they were destroyed, what do you think is going to happen if you don't listen to the words of Christ? So here he says, see to it in verse 25, chapter 12, that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, then how much less will we escape if we turn away from him who warns from heaven? And his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. There's going to be another shaking.
That's a promise.
Now, this expression, yet once more, it denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things. God's going to remove all the things that have been created. He's going to remove the old heaven and earth, and he's going to make a new one. And the new one are going to be things that cannot be shaken. It's the new one of the kingdom that we look forward to, the heavenly kingdom. Therefore, in verse 28, what does it say?
Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire.
So it gets back to how we serve God. Do we serve him with reverence and fear? Do we give him an acceptable service? We read that in Romans 12, 1 and 2. What is our spiritual service of worship? Beloved, I beg you by the mercies of God, present yourselves as a holy and living sacrifice, which is your acceptable service of worship to God. It's our spiritual service of worship. We are not to be conformed by this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewal of our mind. Did we get the good conscience? Do we remain in that state, fixing our eyes on Christ each and every day, seated above at the right hand of God in the heavens? So that we are proving the will of God in our life, all that which is good, acceptable, and perfect, proving it in our life. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Read the whole book. Read the whole chapter. Read all of it. It's a consistent message. That's the only way which you can offer service to God, which is pleasing to Him. So let's turn back and let's look at Isaiah about the discipline of a son. So in Isaiah chapter 1, now this is the promise about your sins. God's willing to not hold your sins against you anymore. And let's just look at that first, right? Because the context that we're talking about here, God wants to reason with us. He wants to reason with you. You must listen carefully, everyone who's listening. God wants to reason with you. Listen to what He wants to do in verse 18 of chapter 1 of Isaiah.
Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it.
So God wants to remove our sins. Now, we cover this in the episode of Isaiah. If you haven't listened to that, listen to it. We go through just about the entire book, looking specifically at the promises of this forgiveness that we have, looking at the promises of Christ coming to pardon our sins. If you think you know what that is, listen to the episode of Isaiah and find out if you truly, truly know what God's word says in the context of what He has said and not in the lying, deceptive words of man. Now, this is what God wants to do. There was a problem, though. You see, the problem was sin. You see, God brought up sons in verse 2. But what did He say they did?
Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me.
They have rebelled against God. Did these people understand in verse 3?
No.
It says, an ox knows its owner, a donkey its master's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Again, what's the problem in verse 4?
Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers. Children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards.
Now again, but they were His firstborn. They were His chosen. God chose them as His son. But the problem is, they didn't accept the discipline. They didn't come into obedience. The only way to come into obedience to God is get a new heart. But they didn't. God tried to get their attention. He strikes. He disciplines. He strikes you to get your attention. How much did He strike this son of Israel in verse 5 and verse 6 of chapter 1?
Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment.
You see, God struck and struck and struck. God does not want to strike. He wants you to come into obedience. Just as Christ learned obedience through the things which He suffered and became to all those who obey Him the source of eternal salvation. When you respond, when you're brought up in darkness, the discipline of the Lord brings you to light. You come and you get a new heart. You don't walk in sin anymore. You don't need of the discipline. You yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness. You walk on the straight and narrow path. That's the only path that the Spirit of God will lead you on. But they didn't. They didn't. God said He had enough of their sacrifices. That's not what He wanted. In verse 13, He said, bring your worthless offerings to me no more. Their abomination. He could not endure their solemn assemblies because of the iniquity they brought with them. He hated their festivals in verse 14. Did He say He was going to listen to their prayers in verse 15?
No, when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood.
And people say, oh, but I'm not that person. I'm not that person. God looks at the heart. Do you have anger? Do you still live with anger in your heart? James 1:19, this you know, beloved, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. The anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. It does not achieve the righteousness of God. And when you keep listening, he gives the imperative command to put aside all filthiness and all that remains in wickedness. And he commands you to, in humility, you're commanded to receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul, because you have not. He then commands you to become a doer of the word and not a hearer who is deceiving himself, because these people were in deception. In James chapter 1, anger is murder. No murder has eternal life abiding in them. Words of God. So God doesn't listen to these people, their prayers, but he wants to do something. You see, he wants to make them into a new creation. He wants to wash them so that they'll be clean. He wants to wash them and clothe them in a new creation so that they no longer walk in evil, but they walk in righteousness. What does he want to do in verse 16 and 17 of Isaiah chapter 1?
Wash you. Make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow.
That's right. And so that is the context that you then come into verse 18. Let's reason together. God is willing to take your sins as scarlet and your sins as crimson and make them white like snow and white like wool, if you are willing to consent and obey. You want to know the rest of that story and the promises? Keep reading the whole book of Isaiah. Now, we did a podcast on that. We did it just specifically only Isaiah and Isaiah only. Go listen to that and find out if you have the true knowledge of God and why Jesus died for you and what the result is. Don't listen to my words. Go listen to it. If you truly seek God and you want to know the truth, then you'll listen, you'll open up your book, you'll follow along and confirm that it is true.
And if you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land.
And if not, you'll be devoured by the sword. The word of the Lord has spoken.
Amen.
So who are you going to be? So I wanted to turn over to, it was Deuteronomy chapter 8. And it talks about, again, how God was disciplining as a son. So when you look at this in Deuteronomy chapter 8, God tells them in verse 1, all the commandments I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do them, that you might live and multiply and go in and possess the land which Yahweh swore to give to your forefathers. He swore to them. Unfortunately, the first group didn't get to enter into that promise. Now, the promise was to the nation, so eventually other people entered, but not the first group. So what did he say he did? And what was the point in verse 2 and 3, verse 2 and 3 of chapter 8 of Deuteronomy?
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live.
You see, Jesus quoted these things. Jesus knew the truth. All this truth were the words of life. God tested them to know what was in their heart. To know what was in their heart. You see, when you have a new heart, you can keep the commands of God. You can be a doer of the law, not a hearer who deceives himself. You can, led by the Spirit, no longer be under the law, but you actually fulfill the law because you don't break it. You love God and love your neighbor. You don't sin against God. You don't sin against your neighbor. These are the things we went through and we read in the New Testament. We covered these things of what it means to be someone who fulfills the law. God tests. He's going to know. He's going to know what's in your heart. He's going to make you understand that you must live by everything that proceeds forth out of the mouth of Yahweh, the mouth of our God. It's faith. Do you believe everything? Did you learn obedience? Did you come to God in faith of everything that he says? Or are you finding yourself that, gee, I don't think I knew the true words of God. I think I was deceived. I think there was distortions. Well, you must reject everything of it before you can come to him. You see, I was being convicted. God convicted me of this message in his words. He opened my eyes to see his truth. But I didn't fully accept it with zero doubt. For a year, I struggled with accepting. I was like, this just cannot be. How can this be? How can this be? And I struggled to accept the word of God. A year, I lost a year of time. Well, many more years before that. Because it just seemed too incredible and not possible. I was like, but what about everybody else? No one else is saying this. This cannot be. Most of the people say something else. It's very few who say this. Well, it was the same then and today. It's the many who are deceived, the many who follow their own way, even though they claim to be following God. We must live off of every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You see, God's going to discipline us because he wants to test something. What does verse 5 and 6 say in Deuteronomy chapter 8?
Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord thy God chastens thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass.
Yeah, and so all this, again, it comes down to from the heart. You can't keep the commandments of God. You can't love God and love your neighbor as yourself, which is the fulfillment of all the law, if you don't have a new heart. You can't do it. Now, we've covered a lot of these passages. I think when we did the episode on Romans chapter 10, we covered much of the book of Deuteronomy. A lot of the promise and what was spoken in Romans chapter 10, a lot of people know 10:9. Well, a lot of that before comes from Deuteronomy chapter 30. And so we went through a lot of this stuff about what is God proclaim. God wants to take you from darkness and from your wicked heart, and he wants to discipline you and lead you to the point where you get a straight path, a narrow path, and you no longer have a crooked path. That is what God wants for you. Why don't we go ahead and pray? Father, I thank you again for your word. It's so good, holy, and true. I pray for those that are listening, O God, that those that are still struggling with sin or don't know, that you would show them your truth of what you require, a freedom from sin and a slavery to righteousness, that we can walk and follow the same example of Christ. Just as Christ suffered through those things but yet endured, we also are to suffer but yet also endure. We're to walk on a straight and narrow path, not by our own effort or strength or works, but by the works of the Spirit that is now within us, by the power of God, not the wisdom or strength of man, but of God, that allows us to live as lights in this world, as a testimony, to walk on the straight path, to be faithful and obedient sons, having already been brought into conformity with our Lord Jesus Christ by the same power, and to now walk and follow his example as a faithful and obedient son by following and through him, we receive of eternal life and salvation. It's a power of God that works in us as a proof of faith, of the free gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit that we received. I thank you for your truth and your work. Oh, Father, bring more into the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We hope this weekly program helped rekindle your zeal to know, love, and serve Christ day by day. If you enjoyed the program, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends. Thanks for listening.